We usually preach through a book of the Bible, but when there's a special season like Easter or Christmas, we take a short break and we focus upon that season so that we know exactly why we are celebrating Christmas or Easter. And of course, in a couple of weeks' time or 3 weeks' time, we will be in Easter weekend. So these next few weeks, the theme is Easter. And this morning I'm speaking on this subject, what is Easter all about? And as Alan said, if you were to go to the seafront, I expect the seafront is very busy this morning. And I expect if you go to the seafront and say to people, what is Easter all about? Well, I guess things like bunnies and daffodils and Easter eggs will be prominent in their answer. I wonder how many people on the seafront would say it's all about the cross of Christ. It is all about Jesus dying on the cross. And it's all about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It's about Jesus rising from the dead bodily, and the purpose is the reasons behind it. So this morning we're going to be asking this question, what is Easter all about? As Alan said, there is a verse in the Bible, perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible. It is in John's Gospel chapter 3 and in verse 16. And this is what it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that verse expresses and encompasses Easter. What is Easter all about? What I'm going to do is simply walk through this one verse. We're just going to look at it one little section at a time, a few words at a time, to explore its meaning and its application to us this morning. So, there are four things in this verse, and I'm going to look at those four things. The first is this, that Easter is about the love of God. Easter is about the love of God. The verse begins with those words, for God so loved the world. Now, for most of us who are Christians, these words are so familiar. I expect these are some of the first words that you were taught to memorize if you grew up in a Christian home or you went to Sunday school or church club or something like that. At some point, your teacher encouraged you to memorize verses from the Bible, and I expect this was one of the first verses that you memorized, and perhaps these words are very familiar. You can, to this day, quote them from memory. Now, that's a lovely thing. It's a good thing to memorize scripture. It's a good thing to have the Bible in your mind. But the problem is that the words become so familiar that we lose something of their sheer power, something of their sheer wonder. So let's just pause for a minute and think about just those four words, or a few words rather, for God so loved the world. Let's think for a moment about the world. Is this a world that is worthy of God's love? Is this a world that attracts the love of God? Is this a world that when God looks at it says, yes, this world is full of good people and all sorts of good things are happening in this world and all sorts of wonderful people doing wonderful things? Well, I put it to you, it is exactly the opposite. In our prayers today, we remembered those who live in war-torn areas. And the list seems to be increasing, doesn't it? You know, we were thinking a few years ago of Ukraine. And then there was unrest in the Middle East. And then we hear about an earthquake in Myanmar. And then the things, I don't want to get into the politics of it, but the pronouncements that were made in the White House and all the turmoil that brings. I know it's not the physical aspects of an earthquake or something like that, but people's lives will be hugely affected by these things. I guess people will lose their jobs. Their lives will be in turmoil. We do not live in a world that is good or right or in a right relationship with God. In fact, the Bible tells us that this world in the sight of God is a world of sin. Now, I'm not saying that every person in this world is utterly rotten or anything like that. Of course, there are people who, by the grace of God, do much good. But I am saying that this is a world that is full of sin. This is a world that is populated with people who have sin in their hearts. And so many of our actions are sinful actions. They're actions that are displeasing to God. They're against the word of God and the pleasures of God. And yet it says, God loved this world. When God looks at this world and the population of this world, He's not so reviled by it that He turns away from it and says, I want nothing to do with the people of this world. I want to just condemn them. Our reading went on to verse 17. I asked Alan to read on to verse 17 because verse 17 is such a lovely verse. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. But in order that the world might be saved through Him. So when God looks at this world, when God looks at me, when God looks at you, yes, He looks at a messed up life, but He's not so reviled by it, He turns away. He's not so furious and angry that He says, I want nothing ever to do with you. There is in the heart of God love. We call it gracious love. We call it grace. Grace is one of the great words of the Bible. It means God loves us when we do not deserve His love, when we do not merit His love. We've never ever done anything in order to attract His love, and yet God loves. This is why for us as Christians, Easter is such a wonderful time. It is about the love of God. So that's the first answer to our question. What is Easter all about? Well, Easter is about the love of God. And then secondly in this verse, Easter is about the gift of God. It goes on to say, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. That He gave His only Son. You know, it's very easy to say words like, I love you. I guess we say it all the time. Husbands say to their wives, wives say to husbands, parents to children and so on. And I guess a lot of the times we do mean it. But if we're totally honest with ourselves, there are times when we speak words because we feel we ought to speak them. A husband will say to his wife, I love you, because he thinks, well, my wife needs to hear those words. But really in his heart, because they've been having troubles or something like that, he doesn't really love her as much as he did, or perhaps doesn't love her at all. These tragic things happen. But the words are easy to speak. All words are easy to speak. The question is, can you actually back it up with action? Can you actually prove by your deeds, can you prove by the things that you actually do love? And this verse tells us that the love of God is not just words. God didn't just sit in heaven and look at a world that is broken, a world that is tragic. A world that has gone wrong. A world where so much is wrong. God didn't just sit in heaven and look at this world and say, I love you, and that's it. You notice how the verse goes on. For God so loved the world that He gave. Now, any gift is lovely. Even a £1.45 gift is actually lovely, isn't it? You know, it's a nice thing to be given a gift. And I don't really care what the cost is, because you think, well, somebody gave me a gift, and that's a nice thing. So any gift is always welcome, particularly for a world that is in sin, a world that is broken, a world that is in tragedy. Any gift from God surely is welcome. But you know, God didn't give any gift. God didn't just say, well, I'll find a gift that's okay, and I can afford it, and you know, it'll do them some good, it'll bring them a few minutes of happiness. God didn't say that. God gave the greatest gift it is possible to give, His only Son. Our God is a mysterious God because there are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Bible speaks about the relationship between the Father and the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible speaks about how the Father loved the Son. and how the Son loved the Father. And the Bible speaks about the communion that they had one with another. We've been studying John's Gospel, and in John's Gospel, Jesus speaks about this communion. He speaks about the relationship that he had with the Father, how much he loved the Father, and how much he knew his Father's love for him, and how much they enjoyed each other and rejoiced in each other and had wonderful times of sheer joy in each other's company. There's a lovely theme of this, the love of God within the Trinity. And God didn't withhold his Son. God didn't say, well, it's a broken world, and it's a tragic world, and it's a sad world, but there's no way I'm going to give my Son. God did not do that. God saw that the one gift that would do this world any good was his Son. He knew that if he's going to give a gift, it has to be something more than that. That will bring a few moments of happiness for us. He knew that he had to give a gift that would actually fix this world and that would put this world right. And so God gave his Son. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's love gift, a gracious love gift, undeserved, unmerited, unearned love gift to a broken, sinful, rebellious world. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth with his heart filled with love towards those that he came to. You read the actions of Christ and the words of Christ. We've been working our way through John's Gospel. And you see how the Lord Jesus ministered to all who came to him. He never discriminated. Some of the people who came to him were the worst of sinners. And they came to him, and he never drove anybody away. He never said, look, I want nothing to do with you. Whoever came to him, they had a need. The Lord Jesus showed kindness, compassion, and love. Christ came with a heart filled with love. And Easter, of course, is about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. At the age of 33, the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested. And he was hung upon the cross. And the Bible talks much about the cross where Jesus died. The Bible speaks much about his death. You read through the Bible from the beginning, from Genesis, the first book of the Bible, through to Revelation, the last book of the Bible. And there is much about the death of the Lord Jesus in it. And the Bible tells us why Jesus died. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus hung upon that cross, the sins of his people were taken from them and laid upon him. This wasn't just any ordinary death. This was the death of the Son of God on behalf of sinful people. This was the death of the Son of God on behalf of people who had rebelled against God, broken God's law, offended God, owed a penalty to God. God took their sins from off them and put them upon his Son. And God punished his Son in the place of those whom he should have punished. His death was a substitutionary death. It was in the place of his people. It's a little bit like, I know this doesn't happen in law, but it's a little bit like someone is given a life sentence for murder. And a friend of his says, look, I will serve the prison sentence in their place. Now I know that in law the judge will never accept that. But imagine for a moment that this does happen and the judge says, fine, as long as somebody serves the prison sentence, the law is satisfied. And so the person goes to prison and suffers enormously in prison. Suffers throughout his life in prison because a penalty has to be paid in law. The law must be satisfied and that penalty must be paid for the guilt to be cleared. Well, the Lord Jesus died on the cross for a purpose. Our sins were laid upon him and he took the punishment that we should have borne. He paid the penalty that we should have paid. He suffered the condemnation that we should have suffered and he paid the price that we should have paid and he therefore cleared our guilt. So Easter is about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. In this series, we will, of course, unpack further these wonderful truths and how Christ on the third day rose from the dead as proof that he has paid the penalty. He has cleared the debt. He has secured the forgiveness of sins for his people. So what is Easter about? Well, Easter is about the love of God. Easter is about the gift of God. And then thirdly in this verse, Easter is about the command of God. The verse says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him," whoever believes in him. There is in the Bible a command. God commands all people everywhere to repent. That means he commands all people everywhere to turn from their sins. God commands all people everywhere to believe in his Son. It means that he commands them to come to the Lord Jesus and believe in the Lord Jesus and ask the Lord Jesus to be their Savior and their Lord. This is a command that God issued when the Lord Jesus preached. We have a summary of his early preaching. And Jesus said this. He said, the kingdom of God has come. Believe, therefore, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe. And you must do this. It's no good saying, well, it's wonderful that God loved the world. It's wonderful that Christ came into the world. It's wonderful that Jesus died on the cross. It's wonderful that he took our sins upon him. And that's all wonderful. Well, that will do you no good. You must call out to him. You must believe in him. You must go to him in prayer. And you must say to him, "Will you save me? Will you, Lord, release me from my debt? Will you forgive me my sins?" Because if you never come to him, well, you will never know salvation and you will never know the forgiveness of your sins. It is only by trusting in Christ. It's only by receiving Christ. It's only by believing in him. It's only by accepting him that we know salvation. You must come to Christ and you must ask him to save you from your sin. You know how often people will say, you know, "I'm a good person, I'm a religious person, I go to church, I live a fairly decent life," and so on. And I'm sure all of that is true. But I want to make this absolutely clear to you. None of that will ever save you. You may live a very good life, an upright life. You may be very religious. You may go to church every Sunday. You may sing all the hymns and follow the reading and so on. Do you know, none of that will actually save you. Our works do not save us. It is faith alone in Christ alone that saves. When we stand before the gates of heaven in judgment, the question will not be, did you live a good life, a moral life, a religious life? The question will be, have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Has his death brought you salvation, forgiveness of sins? Have you been washed in him? Have you known the forgiveness of your sins? Have you come to Christ and have you believed in him? And I must urge this upon you this morning. You must call out upon the Lord Jesus. You must believe in him. You know, it's not a complicated thing. It's a very simple thing. You come to God in Christ and you say, "I'm a sinner. Will you save me?" And put your faith in him. And he will save you from your sin. So Easter is about the love of God, this gracious gift, undeserved, given to us. Easter is about the Son of God, the gift of God, Christ and his death and his resurrection, Christ dying for our sins on the cross of Calvary. Easter is about the command of God that whoever believes in him. And then fourthly and finally, Easter is about the promise of God. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What does this mean? What does this word perish in this verse mean? It means hell. It means an eternal life in hell. It means eternal separation from God. It means going to a dark place where there is no knowledge of God, no knowledge of God's love, no knowledge of God's people, no fellowship with God's people, eternally separated from God, a place of darkness, a place of suffering. That is hell. I know hell is an old-fashioned idea and people say, we don't talk about it. Well, we do, because the Bible talks about it. And the Bible says that those who refuse Christ, those who refuse to believe in Him, those who refuse to accept Him, will remain outside His kingdom and will spend eternal life or eternity separated from the Father, separated from the Son, separated from God, separated from God's people in a dark place called hell. That's what it means when it says they should not perish. But the alternative then is that they should not perish, but have eternal life. Because just as there is a hell, so there is a heaven. And heaven is represented in the Bible as a wonderful place. Even in the English language, the word heaven is a positive word. You know, we say, I was in heaven. By the way, I was almost like I was in heaven yesterday because I met my granddaughter for the first time. And it's such a lovely feeling. But you know what I mean? We use this word positively, don't we? Some wonderful experience. And that is heaven. Because heaven is enjoying God's love. That's what heaven is. Heaven is spending eternity with God, eternity with Christ, enjoying His love, being bathed in His love, enjoying fellowship with Him, without any hindrance from sin, without any interruption from sin, without sin always getting in the way, just to know God, to know Christ, to love Him, and to know His love for us, and to enjoy that love, to bask in that love, and to rejoice in it. That is heaven. It's a wonderful place. It's a place of real blessing. It's unimaginable. It's so outside our experience, we can't imagine it. But there is a place called heaven, and it is on offer to all who will believe in Christ. And all who believe in Christ are guaranteed a place in heaven, because Jesus has paid the penalty. Jesus has done all that is necessary for a person to enter heaven. If you were to trust in Christ today, your place in heaven is guaranteed. It will never be taken from you if you have trusted in Christ, because He is the Savior who guarantees heaven and prepares us for heaven and takes us to heaven. So Easter is more than just the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. It is this hope of an eternal home with Christ in heaven. A world of joy, a world of love, a world of peace with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So this is what Easter is about. It is about the love of God and the gift of God and the command of God and the promise of God. Have you trusted in Christ? I'm not asking you, are you religious? Have you trusted in Christ? Have you put your faith in Him? Have you asked Him to save you? Have you ever prayed to Him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, will you save me? Will you forgive me? Whatever form the prayer takes, the words don't matter. It's the heart crying out for salvation. Have you ever trusted in Him? If not, why not this year? Easter 2025, come to know and love the Lord Jesus and to know His great gift of salvation for all who believe in Him.